This morning, we're here to talk about the resurrection. What was the resurrection and why did it happen? Why was it needed? Pretty good study, really, to understand the blood sacrifice that had to be made, to understand that life's in blood, life's in our blood, life's in the blood. And only Jesus Christ's blood was holy enough cover the sin of the world. And it's still covering the sin of the world. We'll continue to do so until we all meet him. This morning, if you look in your book, you have a little paper that says paid in full. I did you a favor this morning. I made it easier for me to follow. Or for me to follow it, one of the two. I'm not sure which. But I'll try to stay on track. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is called biblical atonement. To atone for something means that you pay for it. Jesus had no sin. None. And he became sin on the cross. He took on the sin of the world and he paid that payment for you and I. He paid it. We don't have to pay for it anymore. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing thing? Many times in life, we think we've got to keep paying for things. Not that there isn't consequences for our actions. There are things that we do in our life that cause certain things. They don't miraculously just disappear because we don't do them anymore. If I go out and I'm living a crazy life and I go out and I'm driving under the influence and I get in a wreck and I lose an arm, and because of that situation, I understand I need the Lord and I know and realize how close I came to death and I surrender my life to him, the next day my arm does not miraculously reappear. We have to live with the consequences of sin. But understand that sin that we commit has been paid for. We have to put it down. I hope that this morning that none of you are carrying a sin that you think is unpardonable. Something you're hanging on to that maybe happened in life that you can't get over. Some mistake that you made in the past that you think, you know, I've just got to, God's never going to forgive me for this. You got to forgive yourself because he forgave you. You got to put it behind you or you can't move forward. And to be perfectly honest, if you've given all that to Jesus Christ and you're still harboring it, it's not because God is making you guilty and wants you to keep reliving this horrible thing that you think you've done or have done. It is Satan trying to keep you down from moving forward. I want you to understand something this morning. If you have given your life to Christ and accepted his free gift of atonement on the cross, all your sin you've ever done and ever will do is paid for. Period. The next verse we want to look at this morning is in Romans. Let's back up a couple chapters. Romans 5. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also live in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now have received atonement. Do you realize this is the greatest truth in all Scripture, that we live in Christ through his atonement? This is the greatest thing we can think of because of the fact that without that atonement, there would be no Christianity. It wouldn't exist. It can't exist without the atonement. As we shared last week, the first time we were called Christians was in Antioch. The word Christian means follower of Christ. Follower of Jesus, follower of Yeshua. What does that mean? I'm a good person? Does it mean that I read the good things he did in the Bible and I want to kind of model my life after that? Well, that could be some of it, but it's not atonement. When we follow Jesus Christ, we follow who he was and what he did, and we accept his sacrificial atonement on the cross. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news? Don't you think the world needs to hear this good news? I mean, everybody carries around things that they, in this world, that they can't get past. And some people fall into deep depressions, or they trade it in for something else to keep their mind off of. Have you ever done that? You got something really weighing you down, so you do something else to get your mind off of it. That's how a lot of addictions are formed, honestly. People do things to get their mind off the thing that just won't go away, or the concern that they have with their past or their life or what's going on. And we see a lot of it. And addictions, I just don't mean substance abuse. I guess substance abuse would cover this too. But it can be anything. It can be a desire to have everything. I knew someone very well one time that literally weekly, they would have to find some new thing to buy. And they spend all week deciding where that thing is going to be or what it's going to be. And when they got their paycheck on Friday, they just couldn't wait to that weekend. Back then we used to have these things called, well, I think we still do. We still have the Sunday Dispatch that gets around. Anyway, it has ads in it. You guys, Marion, used to have it. I don't know if they still do. But there's all these ads in there. And they would feverishly go through those ads, finding that one thing so they could feel great about it. And they would go and they would get it and they'd feel great about it. Till about Tuesday morning, because see, Monday morning they got to go to work and tell all their friends about the great thing they just got. By Tuesday morning, it was getting old, so you're back to looking about. Honestly, this was a lifestyle. Do you know that every one of us, God has instilled in us a desire for something outside of ourselves? It's that hole that doesn't get filled. It's that hole that the world will have you fill with everything there is to keep your mind off the one true thing that you need, Jesus Christ. And even as Christians, if we don't stay in the Word and follow the Lord and live for him and understand this great, this is the gospel, what he's done for us, we can fall right back into that same trap of trying to fill our life for things that don't benefit us at all. What's really wonderful about this is that what he's offering here and the life he's offering here carries over into eternity. Think about that. All the things we gather here on earth, they're gone. We don't take them to heaven with us. We gather up all these things. People fight over them when we're gone. Who got what? I've seen families that are so close. I knew a family very well one time that I used to envy them because their family was just so close every weekend. They were going out to the lake together and camping and doing all these wonderful things. And I thought, man, that family's close. And then the patriarch died. And they had a little bit of problem with each other and a division of who got what. And began to assume that this one must have got to him here and this one must have got to him there. And before you know it, this family didn't speak anymore. Even took each other to court. That's what happens when we put our hopes and our dreams in things of the world. Let me ask you a question. Do you think if that family put their hope in Jesus Christ and sharing his love and reaching other people to share the good news with other people, do you think when the patriarch died there would have been a huge fight? No. They keep on keeping on doing the same thing they were doing. That's the difference between Jesus Christ and the world. Without the atonement, there is no Christianity. Matthew 11. Verses 25 through 30. I'm reading this, but I can give you guys a word of advice. Don't ever use red highlighter to underline red words. This is very much a blur to me right now. Anyway, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father neither knoweth any man. The Father save the Son, and he to whom whosoever the Son revealeth him. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a mouthful, isn't it? I did something the other day that I thought might help you with this passage a little. I pulled out my Eugene Peterson message. It's in contemporary language. And I want to read that passage to you in language today other than the King's English. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from the sophisticates and the know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation, coming out of the Father and Son, intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who will listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful what he says? And it's just the opposite of religion, isn't it? It's just the opposite of what religion does. Religion makes a bunch of rules. And we got to be forced to try and live by them. I can't do this. I can't do that. I got to look this way. I got to walk this way. Now, some of that will overflow into what the Lord wants us to do. But we get so caught up in the legalism of rules that we forget about grace. And we forget about walking with someone. Let me kind of explain it like this. Say you have a father that never really tells you that he loves you, that never really does anything with you, father and son. But all that he ever does is give you a list of things to do while he's gone at work. And you better have them done when he gets home, or there's going to be some real punishment for it. And then when you've got them done, there's something else you have to do. You got to be at dinner at 5:15, not 5:16, not 14, 5:15. And you have to, or you're afraid there's going to be horrible consequences. And the rules go on, but there's never any embrace. There's never any love. That's a relationship that nobody wants to be in. But let's look at a different relationship. Now we have a father that embraces the son in the morning, tells the child or the daughter that he loves them, encourages them for their day, reminds them of the tasks that need to be done, and encourages them to do their best. And when he comes home in the evening, again, there's the embrace. There's a how have you done? Well, Father, I did my best, but I didn't quite get it done. And the father says, it's okay. Let me help you with that. And when we get done, we'll sit down together as a family. And we'll eat a meal. You see the difference? That's the difference that I'm explaining you to between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loved us so much. He came to this earth perfect. Perfect. Holy. Sinless. Blameless. We can't even imagine that because it's not in our psyche to imagine purity that pure. But he did. Because he had to. And because he wanted to. Scripture tells us we love him because he first loved us. And he came here and he lived as a man. Don't think that he doesn't understand guilt. Don't think that he doesn't understand temptation. All those things that we go through, he walked them. But he never sinned and he never gave in to any of it. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just say, you know what, I'll be like the people I created, and maybe I'll just do this one thing? Because he knew when he went to the cross, he had to go spotless. Because the only sacrificial lamb that's holy and pure blood could cover the sin of the world and put true life in it through the life in his blood had to be him as a spotless lamb. And he did. Didn't drag anyone with him to the cross. He said he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. And that's what he did. And he was mocked. People made fun of him. Even after his resurrection, they spread lies. The soldiers took his body. Not the soldiers, excuse me. His entourage, his disciples, his apostles, took his body. Soldiers knew what happened. Who told him to do that? The chief priests, the religious leaders. They told the religious leaders what happened about the angel coming and the tomb rolling open and the great shaking earth and everything that happened. And they said, okay, keep that to yourself. We're going to tell everyone that while you were sleeping, his men came and took his body, because we don't want the truth to be out there. And they did. And in all Judaism, they still teach that today. The scheming of religious people. We still have it today. The truth is the truth of the gospel, which makes us the church. We are his bride. We are the bride of Christ. We are his church that he died for. That is us. I'm not a building. If I am, I'm a pretty poor built one sometimes. We're not buildings. We're people. We're believers. We're Christians. We accept this gift, this free gift that he has given us. And we share it. He said in that passage, he said, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Get away with me. What? You mean I can get back the life that I thought I lost? Uh-huh. He says, come away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. When was the last time some of us had a real rest? You know what a real rest is? A real rest is when you take the burdens of life and put them over here. What keeps us from a real rest? You ever try to have a real rest and things just keep coming to you? You go on a vacation, you just can't even leave them at home. He says, come to me, I'll give you a real rest. You know why? Because you lay your burdens on him. And he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Because I want you to lay your burdens on me. What are your burdens this morning that you're not laying on him? Why are we carrying things that he wants us to hand to him? Do we think we're so special that we've just got to punish ourselves all the time? I call that counterproductive. Give me your burdens. He says, watch how I do it. Walk with me. Work with me. Walk with me. Work with me. What's that mean? It means we keep our eyes on him and we walk with him. We don't walk with the world and then every time there's a crisis, come running back. That's what's the common thing to do. But we have to understand and begin to understand our lives that if we walk with him, we don't have to worry about those collapses and running back all the time. And many of the things that enter our lives now that tear us apart so badly won't be tearing us apart any longer, because the fact as we grow in that growing process, we learn automatically in our mind to give things to him and areas that we don't go, right? You have to teach a child that the stove's hot. As we walk with him, he's going to teach us the stove's hot, to where we know not to even do that. That's walking with him. I love this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. The unforced. You're not out there trying to keep something. You're not out there trying to do something. It's living in his grace. It's an unforced rhythm where you know that you're forgiven. You know that he takes your burdens. And you learn in yourself to rest in him. The unforced rhythms of his grace. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What do you mean, Pastor? Bunch of stiff Christians? There's no freedom in that. You've got a bunch of rules. Nah, that's describing religion. That's not describing a walk with Jesus Christ. Because in a walk with Jesus Christ, you realize that you're free from the guilt of sin. You understand that, you grasp it. It's a freedom. It gives great freedom. Letting guilt go gives great freedom. And lightly. I like that. You learn to live and walk lightly. We got that heavy burden all the time, don't we? Huh? I honestly believe that one of the biggest deterrents to leading people to Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel is too often the world witnesses our heavy burdens because we haven't learned to walk lightly. And they look at those heavy burdens and they look at how we act and they think, why do I want that? They're no different than me. But the encouraging thing is, the good news is, we can recognize that and say, wait a minute, you know what? Pastor's right about this. That scripture's right. I need to learn to start letting this stuff go, about giving it to the Lord and trusting Him wholly with it. And then I can walk lightly. And we do it a day at a time, 2 days at a time, 3 days. Before you know it, it becomes something that is a normal part of our life. And when we start to walk heavy, it feels so heavy that we stop doing it. We feel the weight far greater than we felt it before because we're not used to carrying it. And we want to get away from it. That's called growth in grace. And it's what we all need. Our final verse this morning. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians. I knew these allergies were going to catch up with me this morning. I've been fighting them all morning, trying to keep hydrated. And time to cough, I guess. Anyway, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And this is the closing verse this morning. Therefore, if any man or woman, or child, that's you guys, be in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Huh? We surrender our life to Him, and we give it to Him. We say, you know what, Jesus, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I've got all this life, but I know that You paid for everything I've ever done with Your atonement. And I accept that free gift. And I want to live in You. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What? You mean I can be 80 and crippled and a new creature? Yeah. You mean I can live a horrible life and been greedy and this and that? Yep. Wow. A new creature? Are you sure about that? I mean, don't I have to just be kind of myself that feels a little better about me now? Mm-mm. Let me explain why real quickly. We have a holy God in heaven. God cannot look on sin. This is why He turned His back on Jesus at the cross, because Jesus bore our sin. I think that was the most heartbreaking thing in the cross for Jesus. Not the pain, not the scourging, not the suffering, not the hanging there. It was when His own Father had to turn His back on Him because He carried the sin of the world. And He paid for it right then and there. And when He paid for that, when you accept that free gift, guess what happens? You're a new creature. All that sin's been paid for. When God looks down now, He sees you as a spotless lamb. Wow. Jesus just bridged that gap between God and man. Now when God looks at you, He sees you as one of His spotless, beautiful children. Do we still do things? Unfortunately, yes, we do things we shouldn't. But you know what? Here's the point. This is why God can look down and see spotless lambs. Because even though there are still things that we do, they've been paid for and covered by His Son's pure, holy, righteous blood. It's paid for. Even the stuff you're going to do tomorrow. We don't have to keep redoing this thing over and over again. We say, Christ, I give You my life. I accept Your free gift of salvation, and that's what happens. People still mess up. You know that, don't you? You ever see people that seem like great Christians, everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden they take a left or a right turn and they're doing things that are deplorable? Do not forget, we're still people. And people make grave mistakes and people fall down. And if they don't get up and turn their eyes back on Jesus, they continue to fall. And it gets worse and worse. And the best thing we can do for that person is to pray that they recognize it and that the Lord brings them to a point of turning back to Him and saying, I'm sorry, I need to get back and live in your grace. Hasn't lost His grace, but they need to live in His grace. The sin's still paid for, but they need to realize, I need to get back and living in your grace. That's why you see Christians fall down. And instead of kicking them to the curb, we need to embrace them and love them and call them back to that point and pray that God has them recognize where they are. So anyway, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It doesn't say that you're not going to do any of those old rotten things anymore. It says that all those old things, that all that sin, all that nastiness, it's passed away. It's gone. Everything in your life, you have the opportunity to be brand new. His mercies are new every morning. His grace follows us throughout our lives. We need to understand that and turn to Him every day and say, Lord, guide me and direct me through this day. Many mornings I wake up and you ever wake up and you know it's just, you don't feel right and something's bugging you, you don't know what it is. Those are the mornings that I just have to stop and say, Lord, I really need you today, and you know why. Because quite frankly, I don't a lot of the time. But I need you, and you know why. And I'm asking you to walk with me. And he does. Why? Because I accepted his free gift of atonement. The world can't know it. The world can't feel it. The world doesn't understand the things of God because they don't have that relationship with Christ. When you have that relationship with Christ, you're open to his understanding. And like he says earlier in the passage, walking through that word line by line, walking through, knowing the things that just he and the Father knew, he wants to share them with you. But you got to give your life to him. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, you know, honestly, we are so blessed. And shame on me for so many times not acting like it. But I have to recognize, too, that we live in a fallen world, and we're fallen people. There's a song, an old song, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And boy, if that isn't the truth. Right? It's a fallen world. And we'll have to deal with the things in this fallen world until that day, when that glorious day when we see him face to face and all that stuff is no longer there to bother us, to hurt us, to push us, to bring us down. And in that day and from there to eternity, there's going to be glory and love and grace. Can you even imagine not having a bad thought or feeling bad at all? Being perfectly happy and full of joy forever? On this earth, it's hard to imagine, but that's what he offers us. And that day will come. And it will come for you. And it will come for me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and for all that are here. Lord, I ask that we understand what you've done for us. Lord, that we accept your free gift of salvation. We accept what you did for us. Lord, why wouldn't we? You're not asking anything of us. All you're asking is, please take my gift. I've done it for you. Free of charge. Your sins paid in full. Just accept this free gift. And then, Lord, let us take that to the world and share with people. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a reason we don't do things. We don't do things, we don't want to do things we're wrong because we love Jesus and don't want to hurt him. And we know that we shouldn't, because the old things are passed away and all things are become new. Yes, we still stumble, but that should never be our desire. Lord, let us be a real people, not a religious people, but a relational people. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. I'm going to...